We're doing the laws of Shabbos, and we were discussing the prohibition of asking a non-Jew to do work on our behalf on Shabbos. So whatever you can't do on Shabbos, you can't ask a non-Jew to do on Shabbos. You can't even hint to him to do it on Shabbos. You say, gee, wouldn't it be nice to have air conditioning on here today? He says, sure. You can't tell him on Shabbos a code that he will understand from that code what you want him to do. I know there was a boss who they had him household help. She'd make him a cup of coffee every morning. And he'd tell her, whenever the cup of coffee was good, he'd tell her, your punishment is you have to make another one. So he didn't know anything in Spanish, but he'd tell her, castigo. Castigo, like castigate. Castigo means your punishment. You have to make me another cup of coffee. So Shabbos morning, he wouldn't ask her for a cup of coffee. He'd just tell her castigo. But she knew the code. The code was, go make a cup of coffee. So
it's not permissible.
No. Right. People sometimes have their maids make them scrambled eggs Shabbos morning. That's not permissible. No.
Are you allowed to set it up ahead of time?
Like nope.
On a Thursday or Wednesday? Or
nope.
So you can't say anything about what you want on Shabbos the entire week.
You cannot ask a non-Jew to do work on your behalf
basically,
on Shabbos.
Basically, they've got to have off.
it
sounds like
you're not supposed to ask them to do work on your behalf. You can't tell them, gee, it's dark in here, and then they understand to turn on the light.
A lot of people seem to use Jewish people to do all sorts of tasks.
Right,
well,
it comes a.
You need the. What about in the days when you needed the heat, let's say, to start the fire?
So we'll see that there are leniencies for things that are considered medical. So if it's freezing, you need the heat, so that's called medical. So there we do apply leniencies because the prohibition is rabbinic, but it's a very weighty rabbinic prohibition. If you tell him. If you say, I can't read well here, and then he turns on the light, so being that you could have read before he did it, you had light, but you didn't have enough light, and you didn't say it overtly, so that's okay. If a person gets a letter by mail, and that letter comes from outside the tchum. So tchum is 2,000 footsteps outside the city. So very often your mail is coming from that outside the tchum. So then you shouldn't really touch it on Shabbos. If a non-Jew brings you mail and you want to read it, so the reason they would permit it in ancient times was because mail was something that was exceptional. And when you got mail, very often it was something urgent that was relevant, like the story of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim was once in a city, and he sent a letter to a neighboring city saying, it seems like pogromim are about to start. I need your help to get out of here. So his letter came on Shabbos. And the people got the letter and said, okay, we'll deal Matzei Shabbos. And the rabbi standing there said, read what the Chafetz Chaim himself wrote. You guys have to deal with that now. And they saved his life. Had they waited till Matzei Shabbos, he wouldn't have been around. He was right. There were pogroms that were starting in that city. And the fact that on Shabbos they actually did something, they were able to save his life. So this idea that when a letter comes on Shabbos, we do read it, that's because in their day, there was room to be concerned that it had some relevance to now, that it was important.
No junk mail.
What? No, there wasn't junk mail, right. Now, you could tell a non-Jew after Shabbos, it was a pity that you didn't make it more light on Shabbos, because again, you have the same logic. You had enough, you had light, you would have enjoyed more light. You're not telling him directly to put on more light, so that's okay. Things like that, where it's not directly prohibited, so then by hinting it, then it's okay. There is a leniency quoted in Shulchan Aruch that we are permitted on Shabbos to take a non-Jewish lawyer to purchase property in Israel, because it's a mitzvah to purchase property in Israel. For some reason, he says that's not relevant today. I'm not sure why he says that. He says that today that... irrelevant. It's not applicable today.
Being what year?
He was living 20 years ago. I mean, okay. He passed away 15 years ago.
Maybe because there's so much flexibility on dates for that kind of thing.
It's not so.
Nanju could come and buy.
You have to do it on this day.
Sometimes, yes.
Nanju could come and buy. Pardon? If you don't buy it, Nanju could come and buy.
Sometimes, just like it was relevant then, that there were instances where there was a deal you had to catch now, so it could happen today. A simple example is there are Arabs in the old city who sell their property to Jews, and they risk their lives. After they sell that property, they have to run away. So imagine you're about to close the proceedings on a Friday afternoon, and you don't get the deal done. So he might not want to close the deal next week. He's risking his life anytime he's willing to do it. I can see that it can happen today.
I always look at it the other way here, saying, if that's the way I have to do it, Hashem is telling you maybe it's not such a great deal. You can't wait till Sunday. But I see that's the other side too.
Yeah. There are special halachos. If you're traveling, you have money with you, give it to the non-Jew. How to transfer it there? He doesn't go into that. He says it's not so common. We will see later on in situations of illness that we do use a non-Jew. There were super lenient, depending on how weighty the sickness, but we're super lenient for someone who is ill, depending, as we'll see then. The prohibition of actually enjoying the work of a non-Jew will also be discussed later on. Meaning, you're sitting at home and all the electric goes down. We had this two or three times this winter, where all the electric went down on Shabbos. Now, 4 hours later, like 2 o'clock in the morning, we're all sitting there freezing. The electric goes back on. Now, can you use the food on the plata, on the hot plate? Can you enjoy all the electric that was turned on? Do you say the electric company used the non-Jew, or they used the Jew? So we are lenient because we say that the electric company must turn it on. They don't know how many people are on dialysis. They don't know how many people are in danger if they don't turn it on. So they have to. For them, the Chilul Shabbos is mutter. Being that it's mutter even through a Jew, because there's definitely people's lives at risk. You have a few thousand people who lost electricity. Among them, it's very likely there are going to be children and elderly in the cold, and there's going to be people who have all kinds of medical needs. And so they have to turn on the electric on Shabbos. And so they're doing something that's mutter. So for us to enjoy it, well, they can't just turn on the electric for this house and that house. They can't zone in. So that's one of the great leniencies we rely on in general in the use of electricity on Shabbos, that the electric company must work on Shabbos. The army needs them to work on Shabbos. The police need them to work on Shabbos. Hospitals need them to work on Shabbos. So what they're doing is permissible. And so off of that, we're also permitted to use that electricity.
Is it a consideration if you're in a land where the chances are 90%+ that it would be a non-Jew? Anyway?
So then it's even more lenient. But I'm saying even if it would be a Jew, it would be okay. So that's why these halachos come up, but sometimes they have a good leniency to go with them. It comes up in a hospital today. The hospitals in the Jerusalem area have a non-Jew doing the writing. So this is relevant. We'll learn it in a later chapter. We discussed that if it's cold, so you could ask a non-Jew to turn on the fire for the little kids. The elders, the older people are also allowed to enjoy it. Our assumption is that little children, their needs are considered as though it was someone who was ill. We have with the same leniencies for little kids. If it's very cold, so even for the older people, you're allowed to turn on the heat, because we say that when it comes to heat, that's considered like an illness. People need heat, and again, it depends on how cold it is. If it's cold like today and last night, I don't think that's cold. That people need the heat. You put on another blanket, you put on another jacket, you're okay. But if it's like the middle of the winter, so then even for a regular person, it doesn't have to be for a child. You could ask a non-Jew to turn on the heat or turn on the electric.